Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
His name is Big Show's Dick. It's Big Show's Dick.
Wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Pete.
We're back with Mark Chatabout. If you're listening in the car with your kids, sorry, it's Big Show's Dick time.
Let's talk about some giant wang.
It's ordinary size for him, but gigantic for us.
But you know what? I was reading something the other day, which was possibly just entirely made up.
Right.
And it was people talking about the sexual relations they'd had with wrestlers.
Okay.
They were like ring rats.
Yes,
and
they
were sort of proud community. And the thing that gives it a slight veneer of being likely is it was like on an archived web page. So it basically
hasn't been for a while.
Someone had like written it up in like 1998.
Yeah.
And WCW was still really big. And they were going through which of the wrestlers they'd had sex with and who was good.
Mm.
And the only one I can remember is there was a woman who said she'd had sex with Andre the Giant.
Right.
They said, but the only thing about him that wasn't giant-sized was his dick, she said, which was a perfectly normal-sized dick.
Yeah.
It wasn't, like, small. It was normal.
Mm.
It's just, she said, on him, it was entirely wrong.
Entirely too small.
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't want a giant's penis near you, would you? I mean, it'd be quite
problematic. No. I'm not sure I'd want a normal-sized penis near me, but then I've got my own, so we've all got our crosses to bear.
So we're back with WrestleMania. XX. We're bringing the XX, and we're in the second match. This one was a bit forgettable for me.
Oh.
I'm looking at who was in it, and I can't remember.
Yeah, match number two is a fatal four-way. The Raw Tag Team Champions, RVD and Booker T, versus La Resistance from Paris, France.
Mm.
Garrison Cade and Mark Jindrak and the Dudley Boys. What you got here? Raw Tag Team titles.
Right.
So, for what are we? 2004, 2001. WCW's folded,
right?
And after it folds, they try and do WCW versus WWF. They quickly abandon that because it seems they've spent so long saying WCW is terrible. There's no chance they're going to run that as a separate company,
right?
But they can't shake the idea of having a separate company.
Mm.
They like the idea of doing inter-promotion. So what they do is a thing called the brand extension and the draft, and they split the roster into two. So some wrestlers are on Raw and some are on SmackDown.
Yeah.
And the idea is they will never face each other. They will be their own unique brands, but occasionally at big WrestleManias, they'd have someone from Raw versus someone from SmackDown.
Right.
They have been doing this for 15 years and it does not fucking work, right? Who knows who's on what brand? You have no idea.
So are there divisions? Is Raw worse than SmackDown or is SmackDown worse than Raw?
Traditionally, Raw has been the number one show, so it had the big stars on.
Yeah.
And SmackDown became a thing that they were building, I think, around Eddie Guerrero at this time, where they were like, it's all about the wrestling. So we had Guerrero and Benoit and Mysterio. And no one cares and it was just they keep on trying it and it's never worked. What you see at this WrestleMania, it's the first time we've had this brand split, and so we've got the Raw tag team titles. All that does is water down some belts, and instead of just having the best matches, you go, oh, we've got to get the Raw guys on, we've got to get them all paid, and you've got twice as many people as you used to have before on the roster.
So then that's why you have to go do four ways and little
just to get everyone on. And that's why you get people like Garrison Cade and Mark Jindrak on a WrestleMania. Again, I think I mentioned it last episode, but the Ruthless Aggression, not just sort of typified by what went on in the ring, but in the just this big smear of really uncharismatic mid-carders who looked good, who were perfectly serviceable wrestlers, but left no impression on you whatsoever. La Resistance, a really good example of that. Wrestlers that nobody really wanted to see. I love the fact that they've got to a point with La Resistance where they've got René Dupree as a French-Canadian, and they couldn't even find anyone else to be a fake Frenchman. So they have a guy called Rob Conway, who the commentators describe as a French sympathiser.
A French sympathiser. I guess maybe we're into Freedom Fries territory and stuff for now, are we?
Yeah, I think we're still there. Yeah. I think we're still there. I mean, I watched this match and I was aware halfway. I was thinking, this is, you know, just, I can't remember any of this. Even as I'm watching it, I couldn't take it in. And I can't remember any of it. I really can't. I think Booker and RVD win. And funny watching this back as well, one of those things, at the time, RVD was seen as being such a pioneering, exciting wrestler. People couldn't believe that he wasn't in the main events.
Right.
He'd had a brief period where he'd sort of looked like he was breaking through, and people felt he was being held down, and you watched him in the ring and you just went, he is incredible quality. You watch him now, he's just another bland one. I mean, he's really, really poor. It's really odd.
That, I think this WrestleMania has done that to a few people who are in it. They're really sort of like, they've watered down their kind of appeal to almost homeopathic
completely
levels.
And I think when you have that thing of when there's so many people there, you're competing, and but how long does, you know, any of them spend in the ring? What, 2.5 minutes in a like 10-minute match? It's not a thing.
Yeah,
it's not a thing. It's awful. And they halfway through this match, they kind of go, "Don't forget, we've got pretty much exactly the same match coming up for the SmackDown belt." Why are you redoing this? This is bad enough. Once we're gonna do it again. Who's in the next one? The Basham brothers. Fucking hell. You know? Then they cut to a thing. Now, this match, I don't know, it could have been 3 minutes long, it could have been 15 minutes long.
It was nigh on eight, apparently, according to the
eight. That's a minute each.
I know,
amazing. They cut to a bit after this, which is, I don't know, 45 seconds, and I could take you through it word for word.
I could too, yeah. It is the best because it is two characters that we love.
Yep.
One we haven't seen in a while, who looks vastly different to what he looked like before.
Yep.
It's Bobby the Ren Heenan and Mean Gene.
That's right. Jonathan Coachman opens up a lockup.
Yes.
To discover, he hears some noise, and he opens it up, and there's Mean Gene looking dishevelled
with kiss marks on his.
He's got lipstick on his head. Yeah. That's what you do, isn't
that's
it?
What
when
you do.
When you like someone, you
when
give
you've
a
got
kiss
no
on the
hair,
head.
When you've got no hair in a film or like a comedy show, you always get kissed on the head. You never get kissed on the cheek or the lips.
The thing I like about that is that must have happened to someone, and it was so funny that they went, and there's this guy came out, right, and he had lipstick on his head, like, and he was bald. And someone just went,
that is hilarious.
That is a basic thing. If we want to convey that someone is having a relationship that they don't want you to find out, lipstick on the head.
Yeah, it's Leisure Suit Larry, because if you've got one on your neck, that's sexy.
Yeah.
But I remember Leisure Suit Larry always used to have one on his head, on his forehead. It's like someone going, oh, bless. It's not like a...
And out comes Bobby Heenan. And I tell you what, you know, people sort of say, oh, Heenan was one of the funniest of all time. And I think, you know, if you weren't interested in wrestling, you'd sort of just go, well, I mean, that's ridiculous. It's like saying there's someone who, I don't know, who's like a leading swimming commentator, and they're the funniest person you'll ever hear. And Bobby Heenan, his physical moves in this. Yeah. Now, he's lost part of his jaw to cancer. Yeah. I think he had throat cancer, which spread into the bone. Mm. And he's lost a lot of his jaw. Mm. And he is absolutely on the top of his game.
Yeah.
His voice has changed. He's got a slight sort of... his voice has come out differently. But when he's moving, oh, my God, he's very funny.
He's very good at doing double takes, and he always was. But now, like, it's actually quite shocking what he looks like, because obviously he's lost a lot of weight.
It would become more shocking as well.
Yes.
As, you know, he
I
desperately tried to... they tried to keep on taking away that jaw to try and arrest the cancer, and it just kept spreading, and they kept taking it away.
When I saw him here, I was like, oh, my God, like, yeah, I know what state he ends up in, and he must be, you know, not long for this world, but he goes on for quite a while after this.
He does, yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah, I mean, he's just... he's so remarkable. And it's these little bits, again, the match we've just seen, that there were eight people out there, yes. at the peak of their career that you don't mention, you just don't think of them. Bobby Heenan comes out having basically unwanted sex with Moolah and Mae Young, who are in
there. Turn up for some reason.
Now, how is it that he provides better memories at a WrestleMania than
Booker T, Rob Van Dam, the
Rennie
Dudley
Dupree,
Boys,
Rob Conway, no, Mark Jindrak. I mean, it's just insane. So basically, the coach has walked in and Mae Young and Moolah have pounced on Bobby and Gene, who are both embarrassed to be shagging them, but also at the same time have sort of like given in. And I tell you what, Heenan is... there's a bit where Moolah and Mae Young drag them back into the ring.
And he's protesting, but while also closing the door.
He shouts. There's a bit where Mae Young grabs him and pulls him back. And Heenan sort of looks over his shoulder like for someone to help him. And he just goes, please, I haven't been well. And then he goes, do you know what? There's a part of me that goes, I just hope that they did. Just fuck. I think it would be brilliant. They all deserve it. I'm not getting into the Moolah debate.
No.
Let's all agree that Mae Young, probably gay, and Mean Gene and Bobby Heenan, they all deserve to have a night of exciting carnal passion.
I think so.
If not them, who? Cuts back to JR. He goes, well, that was one form of love, ladies and gentlemen.
Where's that come from?
Yeah. Jim, this isn't about love. This is about a basic animal need.
In a cargo lift.
Bobby has had a rough time. Bobby is going to fuck the pain away. match number three. Chris Jericho versus Christian. This is the link they do from, well, that's one kind of love and here's another.
Yes, okay, right.
Good little package that builds up to this, which Jericho is, and Christian and Trish are in a sort of weird love triangle. Mm. This feud is set up on the opening line they do in that package is Christian saying, I bet you I could nail Trish before... Oh, no, it's Jericho. Mm. I bet you I could nail Trish before you nail Lita. And that felt like a long time ago, didn't it?
It did.
It really did. That you'd put that on television and sort of go, and people will... A, like, understand this, and B, this is good entertainment that one can complain about.
Yeah, massively. It's just in the nail. I'm going to nail. Like, wow. Yeah, was nail. It really...
Mm.
I know it was like, so what, 12 years ago? 13 years ago? 15 years ago. And it's just like... Ugh. And then it cuts back to... Like when the actual match starts, like Lawler's literally talking about breaking a woman's jaw.
Oh, it's like, that fucking line.
That drops like a fucking...
His intro to it, that line that he says, I mean, it's like that... it doesn't really make sense. He just suddenly goes out of nowhere. Mm. Christian could have his own hit song. She broke my heart, so I broke her jaw. What the fuck?
A very... it sounds like a comedy country song from the South.
Doesn't
something.
It?
It sounds like
it?
Something probably...
Why would you say that on television? Especially, I know. I should think in Jerry Lawler's world, that is not the worst thing you do to a woman.
I got a shirt on.
And it's a shame that they've got that hanging over. What is a really good match.
I enjoyed the match.
The two of them, I think it could be a career highlight for Christian. Mm. I think it's a good match. What's funny is the audience aren't quite behind it, and I think there's still the feeling that Christian is a tag team wrestler. And there's a slight feel as well that they're trying to make him into something and he's not ready for it yet. And I think the crowd react to that a bit badly. The match itself is great. They don't let up at all. It's just lacking a bit of magic.
I think he went on to be an actor, didn't he, Christian? But yeah, I can sort of see why, because he's quite handsome and quite obviously built. But,
charming as well. Yeah. Charming guy. There's the crowd sort of, I don't know, again, the lack of the magic sort of thing. And the crowd aren't 100% into it. There's a bit where Christian is lying on his back and Jericho is on his back on top of Christian. Mm. And that's a traditional bit where you do the bridge, which means Christian pushes up from a flat on his back position into a bridge and then you spin him around. And it's just the actual ability to do that is insane. Mm. And they do that and there's no reaction. Everyone's like, right, yeah. give us something else. If you're Christy Woodside, be going, oh, this is going to be a hard one.
Well, to be honest, I halfway through, I forgot what the narrative was. I forgot what was going on, really. And I suppose in the actual arena, that's probably the similar situation.
There's also in this bit, they cut to a couple of shots, and there's two men in about the third or fourth row, and they have got full-on proper doink makeup on. And they're looking really intently. It's almost like Doink has sent out his brothers to scout out this sort of thing. And every now and then, it would I'd sort of look back, having looked at something else, and they're just, I could see a clown in the background, sort of going, yes, yes.
If you saw that in any other crowd, you'd be like, oh, no. Something's going to happen.
If you see a clown in any circumstances beyond like a circus, that is no good. That is no good at
never
all.
Never good.
No.
Never good.
There's a bit here. So Trish Stratus is supposed to be, they're sort of building up to, oh, she's probably like, she friend zoned Chris Jericho.
Right.
And you get the impression that this is the bit where she's going to come out like Miss Elizabeth and she's going to give him a big kiss.
Yeah.
And everyone's going to cheer. I don't know why. this is the closest I'm going to get to a relationship. Woo! And she comes out and there's some, you know, business. And she ends up elbowing Jericho in the face. Mm. And Christian does a roll up. And then right at the end, Jericho sort of begins weirdly manhandling her to sort of keep her away from Christian.
Yeah.
And she slaps him really hard. And everyone goes, oh! And then Christian comes in and does his finishing move. And the two of them walk off. And when they get to the top of the ramp, they do the, I'd say, probably one of the two hottest fucking things that's ever happened in wrestling.
Do you like that? Because I wasn't sold on the narrative, so it was just him grabbing her head.
Do you know what? He did pull her hair, and he sort of grabs her by the hair, and then they start snogging. And he grabs her by the hair, and I thought, I wonder if they talked about that beforehand, because if they didn't, they fucking did after. It's so disrespectful, but it's very fucking hot. The best bit is where she's wiping her mouth, and it's a side of Trish Stratus you've never seen before, because she's spent a couple of years going, I'm not this cheesecake thing, I'm going to work really hard at the wrestling. And that bit where she wipes her mouth, you're like, oh, nice.
Filth. Completely not a filth.
Absolutely
and
delightful.
And you've fallen for it, Mark.
That was one form of love, ladies and gentlemen.
Was it sexier than Bobby the Brain Heenan?
Just on a weird little wrestling thing. There's the referee in this match, you might not have noticed.
Right.
He's a guy called Tim White, and he was probably most well remembered now. He's a long term referee, but he's most remembered for being Andre the Giant's handler. I recently watched the HBO documentary about Andre the Giant,
which is up on
the network now. The greatest documentary about wrestling I think I've seen in years. Mm. And in that, he just described, oh yeah, I was Andre's handler. They're like a circus elephant. They're a bit mental. But he was the guy who looked after Andre and would help him out, you know, getting checked in and things like that. And he was a long-term referee. And in Judgment Day 2002, there was a match between Triple H and Jericho. I think it was a Hell in the Cell. And Tim White ended up really, really damaging his own shoulder. He got thrown into the cage. Mm. And basically, his like bones just crumpled. Ooh. And he spent a long time recovering. And this was his first match back. And somehow he fucked his shoulder up again just doing a simple count.
Really?
And you can see him do it. He sort of goes a bit stiff and weird.
Oh.
And he carries on, finishes the match. And when Christian has won, Christian goes straight out of the ring. Tim White comes out to lift his arm. And you can see as he gets out, one of his hands is just juddering back
wow.
and forth.
Wow. I need to go back and watch
good.
This.
I know. This is a retirement match, but not for any of the wrestlers. He also used to own a bar called the Friendly Tap in Rhode Island.
Okay.
And occasionally when they do sort of outside things, the APA would go to a bar.
Mm.
It would come from the Friendly Tap in Rhode Island. Classic sort of wrestling
sort of like
nerds destination.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. It is still open as well. Yeah. I don't think he's in charge of it anymore. But no.
Can't pull pints. Sure as fuck, mate.
Well, I'm glad these people are just characters in a world for your amusement. I want to say, Tim White, get well soon.
Is he still with us?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
He is. Right. Yeah. So you'll be hearing from him.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
They cut to a little promo between The Rock and Mick Foley.
Yes.
I say Mick Foley. Mick is in
Mick's
shot.
Mick's there. He's there, yeah.
But Rock is really on that thing of just going, oh, here we are, it's The Rock show. he's good.
He's now got a... Did he always have a goatee? I can't remember him having a goatee.
He slightly changed his look. So, yeah. Oddly, he's since WrestleMania 19, he's had a feud with Goldberg that didn't perform as well as they hoped it would.
Okay.
But I think he's only had two matches in the year. He's then been off doing some filming.
Yeah.
And the only person who realises what his future is The Rock. Nice. The WWE are like, oh, he'll be back. He'll be back. Mm. To the point where, after this WrestleMania, they simply forgot to renew his contract.
Right.
So he'd basically sort of rung them up and said, you know, it ends in about 2 weeks. And they were like, oh, yeah, sure, yeah, someone will get back to you. No one ever did. So somehow they let Rock just fall out of a contract.
Right.
So Rock then becomes the biggest star in Hollywood, and WWE are just sort of, bollocks, we shitted that one up. So this turns out to be Rock's last appearance in the WWE for about 8 years.
Oh, wow.
Amazing. He just goes after this. But what he's doing is, you can see, he's changing. He's meeting new people. He's got new experiences.
He's got a big tattoo.
He shaved his head. He's got a goatee. And he's got a great big Samoan arm tattoo.
Yeah.
Oh, you've been off? Yeah, it's a gap year.
Gap year. Gap year Rock. I like that a lot, yeah.
And he just does a promo that, again, is just, it's the sort of promo you do with the confidence of someone who is like, I am fucking out of here.
I think I know how big is Willie is. He's just The Rock, isn't he?
Stop talking about The Rock strudel.
The Rock strudel, that's it, yeah.
Mick Foley does have a thing where he's looking at The Rock, and it's such a good promo that Mick is like, I am absolutely the spare prick at a wedding here. And Mick is just looking at him, and he's not smiling or doing anything wrestler. He's just like looking at him going, ugh. And there's a bit where they cut back and they've got to say, The Rock says, if you smell what The Rock... And Mick Foley has to say, and Sock, which is, they had a short-lived tag team affectionately known as the Rock and Sock Connection.
I'm sorry, the Rock and Sock Connection is a wonderful, yeah. Probably my favourite tag team name, I think.
Yeah. All Mick has to do is wait for that gap and say, and Sock. And when they cut back, whether Mick knows he's on camera or not, Rock is going, if you smell... And Mick is mouthing along with him, going, oh, you smell what the Rock... And he goes, and Sock, like that. And it's like, Mick, you're Mick Foley, mate. You're at the end of this glittering career. You're acting like you're nine. And you've got to say the word, and Sock, and Sock, and Sock. And Sock! Weird. The little cut as well, they show Rock sort of walking around because Rock cannot be constrained by, you say, we're going to do an interview. Rock is like, Rock is going to walk where that Rock
everyone
wants. Yeah. And he's going to shout at the camera people to follow him. And there's a bit where he points down the corridor, and standing there are Don Morocco and Jimmy Snuka.
Jimmy Fly Murder!
Super violent Jimmy Murder. And they had a very famous match at Madison Square Garden in a steel cage.
Right.
Don Morocco versus Superfly Jimmy Snuka in about 82, where Snuka did a Superfly splash off the top of the cage.
Yeah.
That was the match that Mick Foley had seen as a fan and had really sort of said to him, I want to be A, a wrestler, and B, I want to do moments like that.
Yeah.
He would end up going off to Hell in the Cell, and that was, if you like, his Superfly Jimmy Snuka off the top of the cage moment. Worth saying, when you do see them, if you work for the NYPD, did any women go missing, or were there any bodies discovered on the night of the 14th of March 2004? That's the 14th of March 2004.
Oh dear, but yeah, it's weird. Who are the Hamburglers, burglars, by the way?
Who are the Hamburglars?
It was a Hamburglar man.
There was a Hamburglar.
Yeah, the Rock went, there's the Hamburglar.
It's the Hurricane and Rosie.
Right,
the superhero in training, yeah. Yeah.
They don't appear at any point during the...
No, they aren't on the card.
So that they have got to dress up.
I should imagine they said, you are going to be on WrestleMania. We've got a backstage section. And they have to stand there. And The Rock basically goes, you look ridiculous and you're a fat piece of shit. are we getting paid for this, Vince? No. It's a privilege to be insulted by The Rock.
You can have as many rissoles, as many little balls of paella as you want. Yeah. From catering.
I'm actually happy about that because I'm actually starving. Rosie, naughty. Really, really exciting promo. It goes into their match, which is Evolution, a sort of attempt by the WWE to do a four horsemen stable,
right.
Which was a really clever idea in that they had Triple H and Ric Flair in it to give it the gravitas, and they took two young stars that they wanted to sort of mould and give the rub to.
Mm.
And the two guys they chose were Randy Orton and Batista.
Yeah.
They couldn't have chosen two better people. And I think both of them have talked about how important Evolution was. They were travelling with and working with two of the best wrestlers in the world.
Yeah.
And they were learning so much. And it's a perfect example about that thing about if you want to make stars, you have to nurture them.
Mm.
You have to give them opportunities. At this time, the other thing that's happening, which is why so much of it is bland and the same, all of the territories have died out. There's no opposition. So people aren't doing anything other than training with the WWE's feeder system and then coming in. So everyone's the same.
Yeah. No one's learning anything new or different.
And what they give to Batista and Randy Orton is they say, here are two guys, one who is the biggest star in the company, the other who is Ric Flair, the biggest star of the 80s.
Yeah.
And they will take you under their wing and you will learn stuff. And it's no surprise that Randy Orton and Batista become two of the generation's biggest stars.
Mm.
When they come out, you can see them different from everybody else because they come out and they look like they're made of gold, right? They look amazing. They look so confident and good, like they run the place.
Mm.
And it's oh, man, they seem good. I'd forgotten how great Evolution were.
Mm.
I'd forgotten how good Randy Orton was. He's only a few years into his career here.
He's quite tiny compared to everyone else, isn't he?
He's skinny.
Yeah.
He looks like... If there was a group of boys, he looks like the oldest boy.
Yes.
But he still looks like an old boy, you know. There's a little bit they show, and they gave them... Randy Orton had a great gimmick, which was the Legend Killer. And so they put him against people like, you know, your Sergeant Slaughters, and you know, he would beat
them. They do him, right.
Yeah,
okay.
And it was a good thing of going, look at this guy. It was a good gimmick, Legend Killer.
Yeah.
Not talked about very much, and it was just brill. And at this point, he's doing Mick Foley as the sort of, you know, he's the Legend Killer, and also as Evolution.
Mm.
And there's a little clip they show where it's all the stuff that Evolution have done building up to this match. So they've thrown Mick Foley down some stairs and he's been attacked in the ring. And the bit that is genuinely the most savage is they just show Randy Orton giving Mick Foley a smack to the back of the head in the ring. And it's really hard. I've never seen anything look so powerful that if you said, and then the big thing will be he just smacks him on the head. You go, that sounds crap. And smacks him with what? No, he's just going to keep his hand open and just go on the back of his head. It's brilliant.
Well, I think one of the most natural match itself, like, Foley does...
Ric Flair.
Ric Flair is... I think he does, like, a little strut.
Yeah.
And then he gets clotheslined by Orton, I think. Would it be Orton?
No. Either Foley or Rock.
Yeah, it would have been... I think it was The Rock, actually.
Mm.
The Rock clotheslines Ric Flair here, who's 55. It was fucking horrible, Mark. he folds up in the air and then just gets flipped 180 degrees. It was horrible.
Oh, there's some funny bits in this.
55.
Which I love, that where Flair is not just, I'm this, you know, great wrestler who's got amazing technical ability. I'm also an absurd man. And so he starts doing mental struts and sort of, he does the people's elbow at one point and he does exactly what The Rock normally does, but then he puts in some more struts of his own. And then it's just sort of like he's gone mental. I love it. I can't get enough of it. I think it's some career best stuff for Ric Flair because he's obviously having a great time. One thing he wasn't doing, though, was having a great time because he was in the ring with someone he hated, which is Mick Foley.
Oh, right, okay. Why did they never get on?
In 1999, Foley had written his wrestling autobiography,
okay,
which opened the doors for everyone else. It became a New York Times bestseller. It's called Have a Nice Day, A Tale of Blood and Sweat Socks. And people were genuinely surprised that Mick Foley, who was this hardcore icon, could write as well as he did. And
yeah,
he tells his story beautifully. And it's, again, part of that strange world. It was one of the first properly big books to take you behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And really, I mean, it's such a good read. You cannot not. It's so good. One of the things he said in that, he was talking about his period in WCW, and he was never really pushed. And there was a big thing at the end where he lost an ear, he got a concussion, and none of these things were really sort of followed up on. Mm. And so he felt he was very badly booked. At the time, one of the people on the booking committee was Ric Flair. Right. So in his book, he talked about Flair being on the booking committee when he was there. And he said Ric Flair was every bit as bad on the booking side of things as he was great on the wrestling side of it. Now, Flair didn't like that. Flair...
He liked half of it.
He talks in his autobiography, which came out 6 months after this, right, WrestleMania. He talks about saying, I didn't even know who fucking Mick Foley was, right? I don't know. I didn't run the booking committee. If Foley didn't get over, that was because of him. Mm. But Flair basically is waiting years to get back at Foley in print. So they have this WrestleMania, and Flair's book has already gone to the printers. Okay?
Right.
And in that book, he writes about Foley, and he said, Foley has a cult following because of his contributions to hardcore wrestling. But hardcore is such a small part of the history of the business. When I was training, falling off a ladder was not a prerequisite to making it as a professional wrestler. Being fundamentally sound was. I don't care how many thumbtacks Mick Foley has fallen on, how many ladders he's fallen off of, how many continents he's supposedly bled on, he'll always be known as a glorified stuntman. That glorified stuntman, that was a weird phrase that everyone remembered.
Right.
He went on to compare Foley, saying he was no better in the ring than the Ultimate Warrior or Brutus Beefcake. Two right. guys who are sort of, you know, widely renowned as being
terrible,
crap.
Yeah.
Flair was not correct on that. Foley was a big draw. I think he actually drew more money than Ric Flair ever did, which is, even though you take in, you know, Foley...
The generations.
Yeah, and Flair's sort of like duration of career. Mm. Foley was wrestling at a time when wrestling had never been hotter. Mm. So it ends up in November, so 6 months after this WrestleMania, it ends up with disputed accounts, but Foley either walked over to Ric Flair to ask him to sign a book that was going to be auctioned for charity, so whether it was one of Foley's books or something, I'm not sure, or Flair came over to Foley. There was something. Who knows? Who knows? Mm. But what happened that isn't in dispute is that Ric Flair went to shake Foley's hand and Foley refused to shake it, at which point Ric Flair punched him in the face. There was a massive to-do. They had a sort of pull-apart brawl, and Arn Anderson said, look...
Always there.
Always
there in a fight.
He was like, why don't you just go to a room and do this in private?
Right.
And Ric Flair said, right, fine, pick a room and may the best man walk out. Better yet, I'll walk outside and get into the ring, which he then did. So he went into the empty arena, stood in the ring. Mick Foley said, look, I'm not going to fight you. You're 55. Ric Flair said, that doesn't matter because you couldn't fight me anyway. He said, Flair, I'm not some big tough fighter, but I can beat you. They went back and forth on this. It all sort of like slowly simmered down.
What a promo.
They were taken into a room with John Laurinaitis, who was one of the agents at the time, talent managers, and apparently the promos they did in each other were exceptional. Nobody knows what they were, but they say if you'd heard them, they were the best wrestling promos you'd ever heard. They ultimately sort of half buried the hatchet, but I don't think they've ever got on.
Right.
So it's a funny one to watch in this WrestleMania. When you see Flair and Foley working together, you slightly can see Foley sort of going, oh, I don't really want to do this. He did not want to have matches with Flair after the book came out.
Right.
He said, he said when my children misbehave, he said, I don't reward them by making them money.
Oh, nice.
It's good, eh?
Oh, that's spice in it. You never seen
a little
Foley.
Bit of spice.
You never sort of learn of, I've already learned of Firm Foley, who, according to the commentators, is at his lowest game weight. Is he? He's fucking not, isn't he?
He has turned up at WrestleMania in worse shape.
Right. Yeah. He looks still, his bum's still Rikishi-esque.
Yeah. I think this is Foley's last little run in WWE.
Oh, okay.
And he does it basically to put over the young talent. He's putting over you, Randy Orton's, which he does by losing the pinfall to him.
Yeah.
There's an RKO out of nowhere. I'm not sure if that's one of the first times that phrase is used, but JR shouts it and doesn't overshout it.
Okay.
He kind of goes, RKO out of nowhere. And rather than going, RKO out of nowhere, you know, all right, okay,
yeah,
that's the catchphrase.
Yeah, yeah.
But I tell you what, there is one thing I did watch. I did think, ugh, you fucking glorified stuntman. Foley gets up really quickly after the RKO. So the pin happens, and then Foley straight up going, oh, can't believe I. Mm. And it's like, oh, no, you're supposed to go. That was devastating. But then Foley does some great work where the camera just like is on his face, and he looks... The two factions handle this so well. Mm. Foley looks devastated that he's lost. Nobody does that anymore. Nobody bothers going, I cannot believe I've let myself down. And he mouths to The Rock, I'm sorry. And you can just see it on the camera. It's lovely. And conversely, Evolution are celebrating with a mixture of sort of disbelief, relief, exhilaration, arrogance. It's just all there. It's such a good post-match celebration. Mm. Really, really good.
I like the idea that Ric Flair could have had... I mean, I was Batista and Randy Orton. 25?
Yeah, I think
maximum.
So. I think Batista was a bit older when he started, so maybe right, he's like 32. 30,
yeah. I just think he could... Ric Flair could have had... They could have been his sons. Yeah. His gigantic sons.
There's a little... There's a bit where they're all in their suits and they do a little promo earlier on, which is, I think, pre-recorded because it's got different camera angles.
Yeah.
And Batista is there. And Batista's not quite nailed his look. No. He became... There's a period in, like, 2006-7, or maybe 2008-9, where Batista is making his own fashion choices and it's got to a point where he's popular enough that he's wealthy enough to wear weird stuff and it looks amazing. So, obviously, all, like, designer.
Yeah.
At this period, he looks like someone who's being investigated for tax because they've taken over their dad's Italian restaurant. Yeah. He's got weird tinted glasses and his hair's black and like over gelled. And he's got a little shitty goatee.
Because he's not like that's what I mean. Because he's like at this moment. Was he always the animal kind of like?
No,
did that come later.
He started off when he first started his career in OVW, which is one of the WWE's feeder federations. Mm. Very small, low level thing, but it was just to give them ring time. He was an underwater monster called Leviathan.
Of course he was.
When they brought him to the main roster, they gave him a gimmick where Devon had become a reverend, and it was called Deacon Batista, right. And he was just hanging around with Devon and collecting money and occasionally interfering in matches.
Right.
And then they sort of went, do you know what he'd be good as? The next Ric Flair.
Well, because I think when Ric Flair had his last health scare / last operation or whatever.
Very recently,
It was like a week before Batista was dragging him around the floor.
Yes, it was.
At WrestleMania. I was like, yes.
The WWE will make it 100% clear that that had no bearing. The fact that a 77-year-old man has been dragged around the floor by a monster.
Like an old mop.
The two things, his later health issues, all the marks on his back, nothing to do with it. Nothing at all. You've met Batista, haven't you?
I've interviewed him a couple of times, and I could not want to be his friend more, quite frankly.
Yeah.
He's so quiet and deliberate and sort of... He likes Leon chicken nuggets.
Does he?
So there's something for your WWE fucking cookbook.
There's...
He likes Leon. Can you give me some chicken nuggets, please?
There's some stuff I love about Batista, but one of the things I like is he is so nice on Twitter.
Mm.
And he's all about inclusivity.
Yes.
I believe his mum came out as gay. And he's really, really... absolutely adamant about stamping on homophobia.
Mm.
And I just like the fact he's got principles. I also like the fact that he's one of the wrestlers who said, oh, I've seen like your Rock and your Stone Colds have gone off and had these movie careers. I might retire. And basically within wrestling, everyone was like,
yeah.
Oh, you fucking idiot. Someone's got a high opinion of themselves.
Yeah.
The first thing he gets, I think he was a villain in one of the Daniel Craig Bonds.
Yes.
And people are a bit like, okay.
Well, he had silver thumbs, didn't
he? Yeah. Oh, sorry. How many lines did you have? What? Zero? Mm. And now he's, well, along with The Rock, probably one of the biggest stars in Hollywood. And he obviously deserves it because everyone says he's a great guy. Mm. He's really charismatic. And he just, I just love him. He's well done, Batista.
Yeah.
Well done.
I like him a lot.
It's funny his name's Dave as well.
Because wasn't his dad was from the Philippines, I think, weirdly.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I can't imagine. Do you get many gigantic men?
No.
From the Philippines, no. About the world where they're a little bit more.
His real name is Dave Bautista. There's a U in there. And I like the fact as well that when he came to WWE, they were like, That's not an extraneous... a good name. Let's get rid of the U, and then it's easier to say. That's a bit questionable.
When I first started, I think would we have seen him in WWE when they came to London? They did SmackDown and Raw.
I think so. I can't remember even the era that we went to see that.
No, because I remember you told me about some wrestler who had some gang tattoos.
MVP. We met MVP, didn't we?
That's it.
Yeah, his WrestleManias are still to come.
Right. Okay.
So let's save that story. That's basically it, isn't it?
But yes, we'll be back next week, Mark.
Yeah, and more importantly, I mean, we're going to be kicking off next week's show with a little discussion.
Hall of Fame.
Oh, sweet.
Hall of Fame. Wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Pete.
Just one for you, Dave B.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.